How do you train a child? This is Dr. Herbert Albarelli, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with Instant Illumination. How do you train a child? You train a child by giving a child every joyous experience that you think is important to yourself. You train a child by giving a child every important experience that you think is important to yourself. Now, I have a very ugly attitude about children. I believe that if a man and a woman decide to have children, they should also decide at the same time to be a parent. Doesn't that sound strange?
No.
I think that if a man and a woman decide to have children, they should at the same time decide to be a parent. Now, number one, what is the first thing necessary to being a parent other than having a child? The first thing necessary to being a parent is that you think the most important thing in the world is your child. You would like to give your child all the benefits, all the good things, all the wonderful things that make life really wonderful. And that's what you'd just love to give to your child. You'd love to give your child all the wonderful things that keep them happy. You like to give your child all of the toys that it could have, and you like to give the nice house that it could have, and the nice car to go to here and there to school or to wherever. You want to give your child all the nice food to eat, you know, and you want to give your child all of the, I don't know what else you want to give your child, good health and stuff like that, doctors and lawyers and merchants and chiefs. Okay, now you want to give your child all this stuff. Now, where? You say, well, love, of course, but that's natural, you know, natural. No, it's not natural. Love is not natural. Love is something that is done special. You fall in love with a girl or a guy not because love is natural, but because that man or that woman is very special. Right?
Yes.
Right, very special. And tell me, anybody, is your child, the child that you had born to you, is he ordinary or special?
Special.
Why is he special?
Because I am special.
I'm sorry?
Because I am special.
He is special because he is special. He is special because every child is special. It's not a matter of whether the parent is special or not. The parents oftentimes don't know that they're special. But the child is. Now, we have Dodo, right? And she is working in a hospital in Switzerland. And she is given care of the infants as they are being born, or just after they're born. And they're put into her arms, and she is to take them into the nursery and check them over and make sure they're all perfect and so forth. That is clean after being born and whatever she does. But before she does anything, she takes the little infant in her arms and she says, "Welcome to the world, precious. You are very wonderful. You are very special. You have such a wonderful opportunity in this world. The world is ready for you. You're going to do great things. You're going to have lots of fun. Life is going to be filled with joy and peace. You got the greatest parents in the world. You got the greatest family in the world. You got the greatest world in the world to live in, you know." And she does stuff like that, you know. Now, what is going to happen to that child? That child is going to expect those things. Another child carried into its mother's arms, and its mother had problems. And the mother says, "Sweetheart, I love you, but I've had these problems, and now you got these problems. We don't have a home. I don't have a husband. I don't have any money. We'll have to go on welfare. We'll have to do this, that, and the other thing. But we'll get by somehow. But the thing is, I don't have anything." Now, do you think the mother's moaning to the child about her limitations is going to help the child be more understanding? Not in the least. If the mother were to say to the child, What a beautiful child you are. I love you. Oh, you come from such a wonderful heritage. You will be a princess as you grow up. You're just gorgeous. You're wonderful. You live in your ideal spirit, mind, and body. Your body is perfect right now. You're fantastic. There may be an evidence of something, but you don't say that. You say you're fantastic. And what happens with something that it paid no attention to? It atrophies, it goes away, it disappears, not to come again for another day. It's gone, gone, gone. Now, when you stop talking about the problems in life, you stop having the problems in life. That doesn't mean that you don't do responsible things toward your world. It just means you don't talk about them. Now, some people just have to. How are you today? Oh, my lumbago. Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, hey, shut up. How are you today? I look at you and I feel fantastic, so I think you're fantastic. You look great. But that's not the truth. Well, adios. I will go off and be with people who live the truth, who don't think that they're not living the truth. Now, are you wonderful?
Yes.
Do you believe that you're fantastic? And did you teach that to your kids?
Yes.
Are your kids a perfect example of what you've taught them?
Yes.
Okay, then if your kids are a perfect example of what you taught them, theoretically, they have no problems. Theoretically, they have no confusion about marriage and no confusion about children, no confusion about values. They have no confusion. But when your children have confusions, then they show that outwardly. And so, how do they get these confusions about life? How do they get these confusions? They got these confusions from only one thing. Because you were not secure in your bringing them up. You were not secure in saying, oh, but Mama, look at, all is in divine order. Now let's do our best to see that and know that and live that. Now, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order. You know, like some people say. No, no, all is in divine order. Say it with power, with meaning, with graciousness. And then it is so. But you have to be very careful that you don't make a joke out of your beliefs. You don't make a joke out of your structures. Ellen?
Yes.
And lie to me if you wish. If you found a bunch of money in the middle of the road, out in the middle of the desert, at a crossroad in the middle of the desert, and there wasn't a soul around for 2,000 miles, what would you do with the money?
I would leave it there.
You'd leave it there? You mean you have the strength to leave it there? Boy, now, yes, if Ellen has the strength to leave it there, she's a master. Before she saw the money, she didn't have it. After she saw the money, she still didn't have it because it wasn't hers. It belonged to somebody else. And, well, it's just going to blow away. So,
what?
The thing, are you possessed by objects or things, or are you possessed by principle? And the principle says, if it's not yours, leave it alone. If it's not yours, don't. Now, if you see a little child in the middle of the road, and it's not yours, you're going to go out there and say, hey, precious, come on. Let's go to the side of the road and play where the children play. You won't get so scared and scare the child, and the child will then want to do what you don't want it to do. But you just gently go out there and say, this is where the big people play. You play over here, you know? And then the child will do it. But the thing is, if you're frightened, and if you're upset, if you're afraid, then you instill that fear in yourself first and in everybody in your world. And then the child. Now, why would you see a child in the road where there's traffic when you surround yourself with your pure white light of love and you are trained and disciplined to think positive thoughts at all times? Why would you ever see that? Why would you see that? Because you're playing cop. Cops are looking for people who are doing things wrong, aren't they? They're not looking for people who are doing things right. They're looking for people who are doing things. That's their job. Now, and so if somebody calls you a cop, then you're looking for things to go wrong. Now, Do you want to have a successful life? Then start looking for things that are going right. And if you see something that might be a little on the edge, you say, all is in divine order. It's perfectly operating now. See? Now, when did you get the training to do that? Well, when you were a child would be ideal. Could you imagine being trained as an infant Jesus, you know, and I don't mean the way Jesus was trained, but as someone who knew their child was a Jesus, could you imagine that? See, Jesus' mother had no idea what this was all about. She had no idea. And she's playing a game. Now, it's kind of a serious game to say that God impregnated you, but it's a nice game if it gets you, keeps you from being killed because you were playing around with somebody, you know, and you got pregnant. Now, Herb, are you saying Jesus' mother was playing around with somebody and got pregnant? Why not? Is there something wrong with that? You know? Well, it's just that she didn't have any values. Well, did she have any values as she raised him? She kept trying to treat him like a normal child. She kept trying to say to him, Jesus, do this for me, Jesus, do this. And then she would always say, tell Jesus his mother and brothers out here. I want to talk to him. And, oh, Jesus, he's a man. And he says, tell her, my mother and brethren are those who are here listening to my words. Now, was he being disrespectful? No. He was being respectful to those who believed in what he had to share. Now just listen to that. Listen to that for 1 minute. Who are my mother and brethren? Ye who are here listening to what I have to say. Now, could you do that? Could you do that? Could you believe so strongly in what you're teaching that it doesn't bother you at all that your family doesn't follow you? Does your sister, aunt, uncle, mother, father understand the way you're going? Does your family understand you? Does your daughter and your son and your grandkids and so forth, do they understand what your philosophy is? Do they understand what your philosophy is? Your dad and mom and your sisters and brother, your sister and brother and so on, do they understand what your philosophy, do you understand it, you know? And that's the real test. You're going through your test right now of really understanding it, whether you're saying I'm whole and perfect and being whole and perfect, or whether you're saying I got a cold and having a cold, you see? You have to be very careful. And you too, acting superior and more important than other people, it merely says that you are superior to other people. And you don't want to say that because there are no other people. They are your creation. Everybody in the world should be so fantastic because they're your creation. You see? And not a matter of going around saying that I have a right to do these things. You don't have any rights to be naughty. Children never have a right to be naughty. You know that? When mother says, stop arguing, and you keep on arguing, then you don't have a right to be naughty, do you? Do you?
No.
No. No. When a mother says, stop arguing, and you keep on arguing, you're being naughty, you know, as far as the mother is concerned, and as far as you're concerned. And if you keep on arguing, then you are violating whatever values, whatever training, theoretically, you should have had. No. Love your neighbor like yourself. I mean, even the biblical statement covers that. But now, where are you? Where are you? You know what Heinz's mother always said to him? Heinz, you are my special child. You are my special angel. You are whole and perfect. Heinz, you are fantastic. Heinz, I love you more than life itself. Heinz, you are so special. You are so wonderful. Now, does Heinz believe that? If he believes it, he lives it. And if he lives it, he lives it in every way, living up to every expectation his mother had of him. If he doesn't, then he's living up to the expectations of the world, you know? And how is our training? Where is our training? Is our training that if we see a bunch of money in the middle of the desert, that we are untouched by it? Now, what if you saw a beautiful Cadillac right out in the middle of the desert, and it had no numbers on it, had no nothing, and it ran, and it's willing to go wherever you wanted to go. Would you take it? Nobody around? Would you take it?
No.
Well, why would you take money and you wouldn't take the Cadillac, you know? Why would you take... What if there's a beautiful dune buggy out there, you know, or rough terrain bike, you know, and it was just sitting there, and there's nobody around. You can see. You see so flat, you know. There's nothing out there for hundreds of miles. And would you take it?
No.
No, it's not yours. But you could be tempted to take it by saying, ah, finally I got a way to get out of here and ride off into the distance. But you see, you can't. Because if you violate your training, this is merely the first step for violating it in all areas. And you want to keep yourself pure and beautiful and fantastic. And train a child in the way that he shall go, and he shall go that way. Train a child in the way of truth and love and purity and goodness, and he'll go that way. He doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need something that doesn't belong. My son Mark always would say to me, Dad, we don't need anything that doesn't belong to us. I wonder where he got that, you know? See, we start training early on those things. So you train early on those things, and you get going on that, and you'll find that life will be just as fantastic as you are. Because it already is. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.